Hey, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tara.
And you're listening to
Growing with Letty and Lucy.
I'm so obsessed with this thing. It's ridiculous. Hey, everybody. This is Stephanie and Tara.
Hello.
And Tara.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, and how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing so good. You know why I'm doing so good?
Why?
Because we just had the best interview and everybody's going to get to listen to it. Yep.
I was going to say, you look so cute. We both look so cute because we had to dress up today.
It wasn't just us. We had to put on clothes and shower kind of. But we today, you guys, this is the best, honestly. You know, we are ambassadors, if you will, of this company for no other reason than that we love everything about them. And they don't pay us. We are not sponsored officially. Like, we're not getting anything out of this other than the joy that it brings us. And like we say in the interview, the company that we love, Let Us Grow, and the people that work for that company are a direct reflection of a person. And that person is Jacob. And he, this is his baby. And he's our guest. We get to
speak. He's our guest. We got to talk to Jacob.
You guys.
After all our fangirling.
I love it.
And really, we didn't know him before today. We haven't talked to him before. We will say we proselytize. I said that in the episode that we proselytize for Let Us Grow. And I feel good doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're welcome to send us money, but I feel good doing
we'll
that
take
and
it.
Spending our time doing that without, because we believe in not just the product and we love the product, we believe in their mission. We believe in the core value of what they're trying to do in the marketplace outside of, profiting. We would love for them to profit because I would love for them to stick around and
totally.
And us.
I do not want Let Us Grow to be a fad. Let me just get that out there.
I don't want to be doing my own seedlings.
No, I know. So you need a company
keep my stand forever and ever, even if they went out of business. But yeah. I want my seedlings from Let Us Grow. So we need them to stay in business. I mean, not that there's any, it doesn't seem like there's any danger on that. They've been around for 2 years and the growth has been amazing.
Yep.
But again, I believe in the company and I guess I knew that stemmed from Jacob, but I think it was really clear that his vision for just the world is what is driving Let Us Grow. And I think this is a really fun episode. And we've had this ongoing gag of us being fangirls for Jacob. It really is just a person to put our fangirlness on the company. But today he might have solidified.
Totally.
We actually
He's so
are
gracious
Jacob.
And kind.
We talked a little over him because he did a little bit more reserved, but I'm sure no one will be surprised by that.
He's really a wonderful person. And you can see his integrity is palpable. Like, it's something you can actually feel. And everything that we talk about in this episode was just so heartfelt and sincere. And that, from a founder and CEO of a company, to be able to not come across like a ding dong. Like, a lot of people are just so excited to be a founder and CEO that they're kind of douchey. Yeah. And this is not that.
Or
he is
just
not
focused
that person.
On their specific
spot
in the world, And he's really is really looking at things from, what we call that in the corporate speak, like the 10,000.
Yep.
What is it? 10,000 elevation down.
Yeah,
like 10,000, he's looking at a huge, he's a looking at it from a huge bird's eye view and not this like pinhole. And I think we got some interesting, I thought that we knew a lot about him and I think we did know the basic premise of why he started the company, but kind of what led the synthesis. And that was a great, I didn't have that on my question. So that was a great question that you asked about what led him. So I think that's really interesting. That's a kick to listen to. We got some more specific information on the Let Us Grow. I think it's called Let Us Gives.
The program initiative with the schools.
Yeah. So we talk about that, and we get a little spoiler on a couple new things in the pipeline.
Yep.
So if you've listened to us and our wish list, and we froze. I feel like we froze. He gave us an opportunity to tell him what we wanted, and we were like, you'll hear us. But I think because he had already said so many of the things that we had been asking for. So
yeah.
Spoiler, that's a little bit of a spoiler, but not really. So he'll get into a little bit, not super, super specific, but he definitely gets into a little bit of a preview of what is coming down the pipe.
And it was just such a good, I'm like buzzing right now.
I know.
I'm super tired and not feeling the best today. And like, it doesn't matter. I feel great. I'm super excited because it really is a special conversation. So
it's a good day all around here too, Stephanie, because I got to hang out with you. Uh-huh. I got to talk to Jacob. Uh-huh. My son is at school and my husband is out of the house. I'm going to go. We have to get off. I need to go do something around my house that I don't know, turn the music on or.
Just sit in your house on this. Cannot wait till I'm in the house by myself again, ever. But that is such a wonderful feeling. And I don't want you to miss out in a single minute. So with that, we're going to let you listen to this wonderful episode with us and Jacob. And we can't wait to hear all of your thoughts. And remember that today is the day that you're hearing this on Thursday. It will be the last day of the Mother's Day contest for a $350 gift card to Let Us Grow, provided by our dear friends there. And we'll be back on Sunday morning at 8:00 with an announcement for you.
Don't miss it.
So, and you know, Jacob did bring up another point too. If you are not a Let Us Grow owner at this point, we do have a coupon code and we never even talk about it. But if you use the code Letty and Lucy, it's LETTY ampersand LUCY, or maybe also spelled out. I can't, but try either way.
I think it's spelled
the ampersand.
Out. Oh, really?
I think it is. I think we have both, okay. Maybe. Either way.
Try them both. Throw them at the board.
If you use that, you're going to get free seedlings with your stand up to $72 in value. So you can't complain about that.
It's also my birthday today.
Yes, it sure is. By the time you're listening
to
this.
Not today, but the day you're listening
on May 6th.
So I'm going to go a little rogue. I didn't tell Stephanie this, but we'll post something about the interview on Instagram today at some point. I always do it usually in the afternoon. So the first person to hop on our post from today, specifically on Instagram, and tell me happy birthday, I will send you a $20 Let Us Grow gift card.
Oh my gosh. Happy birthday to you, Tara, and thank to whoever you. That person is. I'm going to go get my computer out and be that person.
It's not kidding. For a week.
I know. Happy birthday to my dearest, darlingest Tara. And you guys enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody. We have the best.
We've been hyping
today.
We've been hyping this up for a couple of episodes.
And guess who's here with us today?
You going to say it here? Or am I going to say it?
You say
we have Jacob finally today. Our Let Us Grow boy crush,
hero.
Jacob, is here to talk to us, the founder of Let Us Grow. And the reason I say Jacob, can you pronounce your last name for me? I hate to butcher people's
Pechenik?
Names.
Sure, it's Pechenik.
Pechenik. I'm typically good with crazy last names.
Every way, so it's...
There we go. Well, welcome, Jacob Pechenik. We're excited to have you here today.
So we'll just jump right in. I think, I mean, everyone knows you're the founder of Let Us Grow. We've seen you. We saw your, like, your little cameo the other day on the group. You stopped on your run.
Yeah.
At house and posted a picture. We were all so jealous. Fun. We want Jacob to run by our house.
Yeah, well, I will. One day I'll find you guys.
Do you stop whenever? I mean, do you often see Let Us Grow? I mean, I don't know how many people.
Not often, front yard. But I love seeing them. You know, I just, where I am right now, I just bought this house and moved in September. And there was a farm stand. The neighbor had a farm stand, which was.
No way.
Did you say immediately, like, hey, that's my gig?
Yeah, it's a good sign. So
I mean, I can imagine that area is like really, really good with sustainability and being conscious of what they're doing with their food and all of that. Like, the restaurants, everything, like everybody really focuses on that. So I feel like in your neck of the woods where you live, that's probably a big deal to your community there.
Also,
you know, I wonder how many people have stands.
Right?
Yeah, that too. So Jacob, tell us, again, we are so excited to have you here. And it might seem super silly because in our world, you are like the prodigy of life. Like you are like the god of all growing. And so we're really, really excited. What?
Stephanie and I have talked about, I'm not like a celebrity. I mean, whatever, they're fine. Celebrities are great. But I get so excited by like
you're cool
chefs or like, yeah, someone like you, because you've like done something that's like actually impacted my life like crazy. And I think that you created this kind of little mini cult as far as the group is concerned. We talk about all the time, like in the group, I'm in various groups. We both have uni pizza ovens and it's like the worst cross-section of like humanity exists in the uni pizza oven community on Facebook.
They're so rude with, like, and so
Trader
mean.
Joe's, and... Trader Joe's moms groups are like vicious. The Facebook group for Let Us Grow is like the best of humanity.
It's the only reason I haven't canceled Facebook.
It's everyone is kind and helpful. And that has to be a genesis of what you've created. So that's something to be very proud of. I
agree. I think that not only that, but you have this company that you have has such good customer service and such a good heart that I think it only speaks to one thing. And that's that it came from somewhere that matches that. And so as total fangirls, like you have become, I think, somebody that people look to for, or look to knowing that there's a kindness and a care there that we appreciate that we don't see a lot of, and that is emulated in the group. So that's a big thank you.
Thank you. That makes me feel so, so good. I want to have this conversation every morning.
So. Well, we're welcome. We're happy to be your hype girls. If you need us to call in the we'll morning and hype you up for the day, give you some affirmations. We definitely want to know like where we kind of have a little background about why you started Let Us Grow. But before you get to that, I mean, you're not like a farmer, right? Like you're not like, what's your background? Like your career wise, like,
before what'd you want to be when you grew up? Like, what was your plan? And then how did you get here?
Yeah, I think I first wanted to be a brain surgeon. And then I heard it took like 17 years or something like that. And I said, nope. Or maybe it was veterinarian, then brain surgeon.
Stick to Grey's Anatomy.
Everyone starts with anyone with a soul starts with wanting to be a veterinarian.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot of animals growing up. And I still love animals. But my degree is in chemical engineering, and I've kind of gone full circle because I've seen like chemicals. You know, I used to think like these words were like they were cool, you know, and like being able to hear a chemical and figure out like how to draw it out. But now when I see, you know, chemicals on food labels, I'm like, no, that, you know, it shouldn't be. And that's what's really got me started with this. I had no idea it was going to turn into, you know, what it is now. It really just started as we're having a baby and we've got to eat well for the baby. And you just think it's like, you know, it's just a few cells and then a few more and a few more. And it's like, you got to give it the best nutrition possible. And wanted to opt out for, you know, for the words I couldn't pronounce. And just the realization that food as nature intended it, just regular old food that you grow, is so expensive and inaccessible and tasteless.
Tasteless.
And, yeah. That's and it goes key. Bad. You know, it's like, it's hard to like, the stuff already costs more. And then you go to the store, you buy it, you put it in the fridge, and like two days later, you look and it's like, you know, worse.
And at that point, it's lost any small amount of nutritional value it had, having been picked early and shipped for days. And I think that's one thing, the taste portion is something that you, I think I knew in the back of my head, but you don't, that's not something you're thinking about when you buy a lettuce grow. I wasn't specifically, I was just thinking of the ease of having something here and not things not going bad and all of that. But I will say, and this is a new, this will be new to Stephanie. We talk about it on the podcast, but Stephanie's family is very invested in the lettuce grow. Like, her kids are out there. They're at a fun age where they're into it. My son, for the very first time last night, I had him, like, he FaceTimed me from like backyard, like, which one is the lettuce that you want me to pick? But he's a teenager. He just is not interested at all. My husband doesn't eat vegetables. Like, by choice, he doesn't eat vegetables. So we have very different like eating habits. And last night he said, is this salad from your farm stand? And I said, yeah. And he said, it's really good. And whoa, so there you go. John, that's husband, huge. The non-vegetable eater, noticed that the lettuce was different than like what he would get at a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah. We're so accustomed to just like what it's tasted like, and people come over and, you know, I always encourage them to just sample off the farm stand, and they think one of the first questions they ask is like, is it genetically, you know, engineered,
special variety?
And it's not, it's just, it's what nature gives you, but it's when you eat it, you know, while it's almost still living, you know, while it's fresh. And that taste, that's the nutritional profile, right? Because there's all these, you know, different things in there. And so when that taste goes away, that's the nutrition is going away.
There's something, there's also something like, you know, I know that for myself, it took me till I was pretty grown up to be able to tell the difference between a Thai basil and a regular Italian basil or any other kind of basil. It took me a long time to tell the differences between greens. And my five-year-old, I always talk about this, my five-year-old knows the difference between oregano, basil, lemon basil. He knows the difference between mint. He will go up to the stand and just take a handful of mint and chew mint in the backyard. Like, that's
amazing in today's society.
It really is. But it's amazing that a kid can identify the different flavors and leaves at such a young age. And it's just because we have moved so far from our food sources that seeing those lights click. I mean, I know that he loves trash too. Like, he definitely loves like things I don't want him to eat, but like, he knows the difference between these flavors, and he's developed a very, very mature palate at 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know? And I attribute that to my stand.
Are your kids into it, Jacob?
Oh, they're so into it. They're so into it. I mean, they have like, they have some parts from another farm stand right over here that I was going to bring. So, but they're so proud of it. They know everything on it. You know, they're always asking to taste different things.
How old are they now?
They're one's going to be 4 next week, and then the other one's 5 and a half. Yeah.
Oh, you're in that sweet spot where they just absorb everything.
Yeah, that's really fun.
I don't know if you, we recently interviewed a teenager who her mother bought the farm stand, and she has basically taken over the farm stand. And it was such an interesting perspective to see. And I would love that to be something we're seeing more and more of, is kids kind of taking these stands over and really getting into it, because that's where they're going to, that's going to set up that pattern, right, for life of,
yeah,
of
totally
the understanding. Definitely.
And that's why we set up our Let Us Gives program. So for every 10 farm stands we sell, we give one to a school.
That's the whole idea.
Because I think, you know, the farm stands help with the adults, but then if we get them into schools, you know, these kids are going to take over, you know, relatively soon, and they're going to help us solve, you know, solve the food issues that we're in. But, you know, going back to you talking about it being amazing, you know, watching your kid, you know, interact with the farm stand, I think it's shown me, it's proven to me that it's amazing. And in a way, it's not amazing. It makes sense because, you know, we've grown our own food forever until about 150 years ago.
Right.
And that was like an inheritance that we had, that our great grandparents, our grandparents, you know, it just got passed down. And it wasn't just about growing food. It was like knowing what to eat when, and when you were, you know, sick, right? What to take. There was all this knowledge, and we've had to build like DNA to be very curious, right, about plants and to taste the difference, you know, between them and all that. And I think, you know, that's kind of been lost. But then when we reconnect with that, that's like a magical feeling, you know. That's just such a cool thing. And it's I think we're just out of, we've been out of nature for too long.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the kids absolutely have that when they're born, and you know, it's like swimming. They say you should teach your baby to swim as an infant, because they have that natural ability. And then over time, that natural ability decreases to the point that, like, at four, then you have to actually teach them. And I remember my mom is a nurse, and I remember her always talking about for years, the study that she studied in nursing school, about toddlers that were put in a room over several days with tables full of junk food and tables full of whole healthy foods. And they, I mean, they were toddlers, so they, you know, they had existed in the world. And so their parents, you know, they did gravitate towards that junk, the candy and all of that. But over a course of a week or 2 weeks, when they were put in this room, they did end up balancing their diet on their own by going to those foods. So I do think that we are born with that intrinsic ability to give our bodies what they need. But over time, as we're eating crap, and now we're feeding it to kids younger and younger, all of these that we're losing that ability really young.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's like, it's tough because, you know, my kids, like, they love all the fresh stuff. But if I gave them, you know, just a taste of, you know, like, there's like a plant-based, you know, burger that's just like really savory, and then they'll just like ask for that, you know, there's still these like processed foods have just so much of, you know, certain flavors or certain, you know, certain things that can really, you know, entice the kids. And I see that it's really tough to compete with that, but that's the goal, is like to really show how just natural food can.
Well, right. And what you're doing is not just changing the way, because my mom was very strict about what we ate, but I still lived in the world. Right. So when I left her house, I was like, give me the sugar cereals and the McDonald's that I was never allowed to eat. So what you're doing really is not just changing it in your own home, but you're looking to, like, if it's available widely and everyone, it can be a cultural shift, then we're more likely to make it stick in our own families.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, there's no reason, you know, now that we can't, that everyone can't grow some portion of their own food at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you fully plant-based?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Like what Robbie says, better is better.
Yeah, that's our motto.
Robbie said better is better. So just as long as we're trying to eat better, and, you know, we're not looking for perfection. Yeah,
I think it's hard to make those strict, you know, definitions. I think it maybe makes it easier for people to explain, like, their diet, their, you know, the way that they eat. But I just like to know where everything I ate came from.
Yeah.
And and I haven't had meat in a long time. It's probably been about like 3 years, but you know, every once in a while I might have some fish. But I always want to know exactly where it came from. So, if I don't know where it comes from and the people don't know where it comes from, then I don't eat it. So that just you know, even if I'm potentially interested 90% of the time, I don't, because I don't know where it comes from. And I think in parts in growing your own food, it helps people feel more qualified to ask those questions, where the rest of it comes from. And I just want to encourage more people to do that when they go out, ask where the other lettuce, you know, where did the lettuce come from? How is it treated? Or where did their fish or their meat, whatever it comes from. And because people need to know that the answers to those questions matter. And we're all going to want things, you know, grown the most organically, the most sustainably. And it's just surprising. You know, I was out at a place last night and asked, you know, just a few basic questions. And it was just surprising that nobody knew, you know, no one knew the answer. So no one's
crazy.
You know, people work there don't know. And then no one else is asking. So Let Us Grow is like as much, it's an initiative to get people to be just much more conscious about, you know, everything that they eat.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's like we do eat all the types of meat, but we do the meat that I get is from my friend Jocelyn's uncle's farm in Montana. And he only slaughters like a number of steer a year. And he deep freezes it and everything and ships it to her. And then we buy it from her. It's grass fed. It's organically pasture raised. It is no antibiotics ever anywhere of anything. It's they're holistically treated and blessed prior to slaughter, like thanked and blessed. It has changed. That alone has changed my family's diet because, I mean, we've been doing this for how many years? Four or five years with our red meat now. But just knowing that it's like it came from a farm. It did not come from a meat factory or something like that. Like it's not, the guy has like hundreds or thousands of acres in Montana. And that's what he does. You know, he only slaughters a few and then we get to buy them. And so it's a really different meat experience that we have. And then I got turned on to obviously Let Us Grow, but I think gardens at home have typically been like fun when you get food that you can actually grow, but it's not like you're practical, you're using it every day kind of garden, like you're planting something and it takes 3 months to come up, you know? And I know that
it's
even
not
with,
cost effective, always.
Not cost effective at all.
I know, especially in Southern California, when I started dirt gardening was right smack dab in the middle of the worst drought. Right. So our water bills were out of control. My husband's like, you could go to the farmer's market and buy this cheaper after we like factor all of the water and the soil that you're rebuying every year, and all of this, you know, so I think that's where when that sticker shock when you first look at Let Us Grow. So I will just say I followed you guys from the time that like you announced Zoe had posted something on Instagram and I saw it and I followed you. But that was like several years. How long have you guys been around since you
first started? Well, the product came out May. We started shipping, I think, like May 19th or sometime in May 2019. So almost at our 2 year anniversary.
Okay, so it was a year. So I watched basically for a year and I remember thinking like, oh, that's kind of pricey. But now, and that's why I think we preach a lot on here. Yeah. It's not, it really isn't a huge price. When I think back to what I spent year after year doing a dirt garden, because I didn't have a spot to have raised beds. We were renters. So I had like, you know, like container gardening. So I was doing new soil every single year, all of the water spent. The last summer I did it, which I was like, I'm not doing this again, there was a heat wave while we were out of town. We had someone watering. I lost my whole garden, probably had invested $500 into it. So when I think back to thinking that this was expensive, I think, what was I thinking?
Well, because, and then that's my one time investment going out.
It's a big number, you know, but it's an investment. It's really not
totally
cost. Yeah. It's an investment that gives you the ability, right, to grow, but it's like less than half the cost of doing a raised bed and
totally
labor, right? Because I mean,
yeah.
And yeah. And again, if you go out of town for a week and you forget to water, you're screwed. You're
fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your reinvestment. It's is in your seedlings, or you can grow your own seedlings, which I am not
I'm terrible
do, ever doing. and I've bought my minerals or my nutrients once since the first, you know, time. So really the investment is not.
How did you do that? There. I'm out of calcium. I need to get more, like I'm really out.
Okay. I'll tell you, Jacob, you can, this, you know how you did this. If you think about it, in the heat of the summer, when you were filling your farm sim stand up every couple times a week, you were putting more nutrients in.
I was.
Until you figured out that you didn't have to do that.
Yep. I definitely thought that I had to put nutrients every time I added water.
Yeah. You don't have to do that. So that's how you're out. But I bet you it won't go as fast this year.
Yeah. You only need to add the nutrients like once a week or.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe I'm giving bad advice, but you know, if you skip a week, that's fine too. If there's enough water,
I've learned that.
You add double the amount of nutrients. So just you add the amount of nutrients that you. You know,
we missed. Had a, we've talked about it a couple of times on here, but I had a bad start to 2021. Everyone else had a bad 2020. I've had a bad start to 2021 and we had some health issues with our son that we were dealing with. And my stand is not right next to the backyard and, you know, it was cold. So we weren't using the backyard. So out of sight, out of mind, I had just so much on my plate and I literally didn't touch my farm stand. I didn't even look at my farm stand for 2 months. I just thought, I just can't, that's one last thing. And first of all, it was not the heat of the summer, thankfully. So I didn't run out of water. And my stuff lived. I mean, it didn't thrive. So I finally, after like a month of actually feeding it again, I was like, oh, that's how sorrel is supposed to grow. But it was all there and alive right. And it survived. Mm-hmm. So not to say that anyone should do that, but
but it's part of the testament of the product, right? Because the product actually, it is low maintenance. You should maintain it, but if you need to skip a week, if you are out of town, if your son has an issue and you were in the hospital for a while, like with the virus and everything like that, like you're still going to come back to not a fully wasted environment. And like with me, I had exactly a little more than a year ago, I guess now, done the dirt garden. Like we have so many, I live in the canyon in Topanga Canyon. And so we have little like ground squirrels and guys crawling around and like they destroy our yard. And so I didn't want to put a garden in the ground because I knew they would eat it. Well, I didn't think about the bunnies and the squirrels and the hawks and the owls and the coyotes and the raccoons and every other thing that grows and lives in my neighborhood coming and mowing my dirt garden. They just took it down. The minute I'd see growth, they would mow that thing right off. Mm-hmm. So I spent all this money on my dirt garden. I spent all the money on the soil. I built the damn thing by myself. And then it fed the animals, never once fed us. And my zucchinis only grew male flowers. So I never even got a zucchini and the most hardy thing that they actually did leave alone. So they can't climb this thing. I hear people asking all the time, if you live where deer are, I could see that being an issue because deer don't need to climb it. But they can't, like squirrels can't climb the slickness of the base.
Yeah.
Was that part of the design process?
I don't know if I thought that much about the squirrels, but I would say that it's the second biggest, you know, concern. The first is people say, I don't have a green thumb. And then the second is I have squirrels. And then the third is, you know, I'm moving. And then, you know, once I, you know, figure out like the yard or this and that, then we'll get one. And they don't realize like how easy it is to set it up and to move it. Like we used to just disassemble them and take them to farm to farmers markets for a couple hours to show them, reassemble them, you know, put them back in
Amazing.
The take that's them in the awesome. Car. They're very
that's a great marketing tip. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, that is a really good idea.
I guess you can't do that, right? Well, we're starting to pick back up.
Want to start thinking about it again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
we have a great one down here in San Diego that you would do well at. So
yeah, Calabasas one too. That's a goodie.
So we have a couple of, we want to get through a kind of a list of questions for you that we're interested in knowing. And one of which you kind of answer right here on the screen, but you grow inside.
Do you also grow outside?
I also grow outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I grow outside. I just started growing inside here. I mean, in our office, I grow inside as well.
How many personal stands at home currently?
Yeah. Well, I have three right now, one outside, one inside. And then I've got a prototype one because I'm working on version two. So
that's awesome.
So cool. It's going to be very cool. It's going to be a while to get it out there, but
It going to be able to be the mini one that Tara and I have been requesting for our kitchen countertops?
It's going to be, I don't know if it's a countertop, but it's mini. It's more for indoor.
Okay.
So it's smaller. It's going to require, you know, much less packaging, or almost like no packaging is the idea.
Wow.
Okay. That's shipping. Awesome.
So it's really just thinking of how we can, you know, take costs out, just both the environmental costs and just, you know, material cost and things like that. Make it.
Wow.
Yeah, better. Because that's the only thing we say, it really is like worth it, the investment.
Yeah.
But it's easy for us to say. Stephanie gets her flipping meat shipped to her, like the bougie girl that she is. And that's just not accessible to actually the people that most need the lettuce grow are people that are least in the position, probably.
That's right.
So it would be lovely to see a version, you know, the people that live in what we refer to as food deserts, that don't have access to the beautiful farmers markets and even restaurants that serve real food, or grocery stores that serve that sell organic produce. Those are the people that definitely need that.
Yeah, if you can't live next door to a Takaya, do you guys have that, right, in San Diego?
Yeah.
You have one down where you live. Okay. Yeah, but like not everybody can get that. And those are the people that really do need it. I would love to see some sort of like almost like a sponsorship program for lower income areas.
I'd love to see a government grant is what I'd like to see.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So the possible, without, you know, revealing more than you want to, this is a this is a secondary product, not a improvement on the original. Like this would be not a replacement.
Yeah, I think the original would stand. The original's great. I mean, I love it. It works so well, and it's great for outdoor. And you know, when you're in Texas or Arizona in the summer, and you've got big fruiting veggies, you need that full tank and you got to refill, you know, one week. Mm-hmm. But if you're growing indoors, and right now we have so many new growers indoors, and let's say New York City is like quickly becoming, it's like our third big market now.
I bet that's after the pandemic, especially they've all been cooped up. Exactly. They're actually all cooking in their apartments now.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of water to fill up and you don't really need it. So this would be, you know, a smaller tank and, you know, shipping, the tank's big. So you're shipping that, you know, around the country and you're largely shipping air, but that takes a lot of resources there. So the whole idea is just getting that tank really smaller and, you know, less water. Then we can drive down the costs and
that's great.
Yeah.
So, okay, quick question to kind of go back to where we were a few minutes ago. When you started Let Us Grow, you guys were looking for a more sustainable way to feed your family as far as like the health of the food goes and like having less junk and more pronounceable things. But what was the first step that you took? I mean, because your degree doesn't really, well, kind of pertains to this, but like, how did you meld those two worlds? So like the product design and development, and like, was it through friends? Did you have to like, was it something you guys came up with on your own? Like the design of it, like were you watching Wall-E and then you saw Eve and you were inspired?
There was a lot of factors, you know, like, so the first thing before Let Us Grow, I actually started a farm because I thought it was all about like, I wanted to invest in organic farming. And that farm was in Texas and in Austin, Texas. And through that, I learned how hard farming is and growing.
Oh, that's right.
Scale. And, but the harder part was getting that product to market. And I just saw that, you know, I could invest all I wanted in making this organic farm operate more efficiently. But but you still had to put the product in a clamshell or bag and get it on a refrigerated truck, send it all over. There was a lot of loss, and the customer ends up not getting the product you made, you know, and the environment suffers because you have 40% goes bad on the way. And then as a farmer, we got paid a lot less because they were, you know, taking out all the waste. So that's kind of when I realized like, we just really need to rethink how we do fresh food, or it is going to go away at some point. You know, and I don't want to replace, you know, our diets, you know, just processed stuff. And
yeah,
such a big, I was just really scared about it. Like, someone needs to, it seems like an overwhelming problem, but somebody needs to work on it. And so that's where the concept came. Wasn't so much about like creating a consumer device to grow food. It was more, how do we more sustainably get nutrition to people? And in that farm, you know, I paid a lot of attention to like how we grew the babies. And so you could grow the baby plants, you know, very densely. And then as they grew, they got bigger, then we would spread them out. And they got bigger, we'd spread them out even more to give them space. And kind of realized like, hey, if we just grew the babies, we could grow 100, 150 times more per square foot than conventional growing. Means we could then real estate isn't an issue anymore. Yeah. So we could put farms in the middle of cities. Then we could just move, you know, send a baby plant 5, 10, 20 miles, right, in a regular box that doesn't need refrigeration. So we could take all this like emissions off the road if we just gave people a way to finish growing them on site. So it's essentially just, you know, sending them to the customer way early and living. And so that's where the farm stand was kind of like, that would, you know, support that. And then the focus was like, how do we make this like as consumer friendly as possible?
So you really came from like a farm produce producer aspect. Like, we want to get our hot, right. So really you are in the farm business, and the Let Us Grow supports it, is kind of where you started, is how do we get our produce in the best, you know, way to our customers. So
yeah, you could look at it that way. Just how do we, it was really like changing the system architecture,
right?
Of the food system. Because I thought the farming, small scale farming isn't gonna work. So it was just looking at a different model, right, to get nutrition into the hands, you know, of consumers, but as fresh and as, you know, living, close to living as possible. And I did work at first, I worked on a prototype that I thought would be, you know, really easy to ship, relatively low cost, easy to put together. And But when we kind of assembled the first prototype and I looked at it, it was like so ugly. And God, this, even though, like, you know, it's so efficient and engineered well, I just didn't think it would be, you know, change people's like hearts and minds. So that's when went back to the drawing board and really focused on the design here and making it as aesthetically right. pleasing as possible. So people would welcome it into
yeah.
their
oh, living. Yeah.
Like the
I mean,
right
it is a huge draw. It is, that is something that catches your
so
attention,
beautiful.
Especially in our Instagram world, you know, where
oh yeah,
that is what you see first is the design of it. And it's beautiful. And I have to say, I have no need for glow rings. Like I would bring a stand inside, but I don't need to bring a stand inside. But I have such love and almost jealousy for like
absolutely.
The glow rings, because they are just
they're so pretty,
gorgeous. They're
they really
so
are.
Beautiful and streamlined. You guys did a great job with that. Did you think that you would do that? Was that something you said, like, let's get this out to people and then we'll come back and talk about grow lights, or
yeah.
was it the demand there?
Yeah, I thought we would just hit the more like the Sun Belt states and do really focus on the outdoor markets. And I thought at some point, you know, like the Northeast would say, you know, we love this. We want to grow. And then we'd work on lights. But the day we launched, you know, one of the first questions I got was, it was someone living in Austin. It was like, I live in a little apartment and there's no space outdoors, you know, so.
Yeah.
And that's what really, you know, what I saw is just so much demand for people in the Sun Belt states, right, where there's plenty of light, but just didn't have plenty of space. And really,
yeah, that's so true.
Really wanted a garden. So I started working on the lights, you know, pretty much right after launching. And it's, you know, any product takes like about a year
right.
to do. And the lights took a little longer because it was just hard to get them right. But
and COVID too, I'm sure yeah. probably impacted ugh. You guys. Well, yeah. I think it's funny because you say that the Sun Belt, and it makes so much sense that that's a good place to start and to grow. But I think we've seen, and maybe that's just anecdotal because they're the ones that have the most questions, but people that live in very cold places have just fallen in love with the farm stand. So what we've seen a lot of is, and maybe that wasn't an initial kind of where you guys were focusing, but and to the point where people have figured out their own solution in absence of the glow rings, people in those areas, I think it makes sense probably more in retrospect that like they don't have access to the things that we say have in Southern California. They don't have access to year-round
yeah.
beautiful farmers markets. Yeah. So they
need it more. Yeah.
They need it so much. I mean, you're talking about people with huge houses even that have plenty of space outside, but they're not growing in January.
No, yeah, that's absolutely right.
So it is amazing. We interviewed Stephanie. Natalie.
Wow. That was I was like, that's me.
Natalie Santiago, who's prolific in the Facebook group. And she has, I mean, she's growing for herself only. And she has two mm-hmm. farm stands in her tiny little apartment.
236 stands. It's not small.
Yeah.
She's more than me.
And the most amazing light setup that she, you know, she's like, I would have bought the glow rings, but I just set this all up for herself. And it's amazing how inventive people have
mm-hmm.
become. So,
totally.
Well, I'm excited because we did have like that was our top of the list wish list thing is for a smaller stand.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like it's super small, but at least another option would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, well, especially for people in apartments. What's your kind of favorite thing to grow on your stand, or like what your kids like, something you've been surprised by yourself, anything? I mean, it sounds like you've been in the
well, I love the wasabi arugula just because I like spicy things.
That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Shocking people too, because
kismet, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, some people like it's too hot. It's really like too hot for mm-hmm. them. But anything that's really just got the strong flavor profile I like. And I was growing dill here outside. And, you know, I might have just not paid attention for the last year or so, but I tasted this dill and it was like profound. I mean, it tasted very salty, and it had there was a lot of complexity to it. So I haven't done that yet.
The dill, I'll agree with you on that. The dill was shocking. I was like, first of all, it grew so big, I couldn't consume all of it fast enough. It was like 3 feet off of my stand, you know, and it was so flavorful. I recently found that my allergy to salmon isn't as bad an allergy as I thought it was my whole life. But if I get like wild pole caught salmon, I can eat it. And so I was like, well, I have all this dill. I'm going to go for it. And if I die, like, sorry guys, you can have my jeans. But, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Together. It was just an absolutely incredible experience.
I'm such a like preacher about the wasabi arugula. In fact, we've just started having people over outside, mostly now that we're vaccinated. And it's funny. It's like my new little like parlor trick that I'm like, taste this. What do you think this is? The other one that is quickly growing for me is the cutting celery. People cannot figure it out. People are like, and then when you tell them, they're like, oh yeah, that's exactly what it tastes like. I just have it. My dad's like, is it some variety of parsley? Like what is it? That's another one. And this sorrel. I've had sorrel before in restaurants, but it's never tasted the way that it tastes on my stand.
Yeah, it's very lemony. I love the fennel. That's my kid's favorite. And then anything rooting is cool, like, or the snap peas and things like that.
I only got one watermelon last summer, but
watermelon's tough.
But it was tough. Worth it. Like
so
it was
rewarding.
It was so rewarding. And we talk about vanity plants, and this isn't to poo-poo on anyone that likes to grow this or on you at all, but I just, the cauliflower and broccoli to me is like for the that just takes way too long. And I would just rather not eat it even than, it's not like I'm out.
We just eat too much of it and we can't keep up. I'd have to have like an entire stand dedicated to broccoli and cauliflower and rotate it on a regular basis.
So we talk about vanity plants all the time on like things that you're like, oh, look, I grew a broccoli, but I'm like, it's not worth it.
But the leaves are good.
Watermelon is a vanity plant that I was incredibly excited about, my one delicious tasting watermelon.
I could never grow anything in my whole life. Like I've always had a black thumb. I've never been able to successfully grow anything. And I grew a watermelon. Are you kidding me? Like, it was this big and it was like the highlight of our summer feasts, you know, like
my dad is a prolific gardener. He has huge raised, he has land. So he has huge raised beds that are irrigated and all of this stuff. And he looked at me like my head was spinning when I told him I was growing watermelon. He's like, you're not going to get any watermelon from that. He doesn't believe I'll get, he didn't believe I'd get tomatoes from it. But so that he's pretty impressed now. He's like, okay, you can get tomatoes and a watermelon and cucumbers from that weird looking stand.
Turn into such a nerd too. Like all I care about now is like, I want to start canning. So I need a new stand that's all tomatoes so I can just can my own tomatoes.
Yeah.
Like I have a problem. I just do.
Get a little tomato stand.
I know. Yeah. That's what I need is a little, just all tomatoes. I have like three plants right now, but I just love them.
So what about we want to talk about the future a little bit, but you did mention the possible new product. So we're looking at a while before we see that. Is that?
I'm guessing that's about 9 months to a year for the new.
Seedlings? Are you guys continuously like expanding the offerings?
We're always looking. Yeah. What do you guys want to see in terms of new seedlings?
What do you want?
I just don't know enough about vegetables to say, but I would love more I love like to me, that's the payoff is the lettuces, the greens, because that's something I can eat every single day. But I do think it's fun to have like something edible that's not a green. So things like cucumbers and snap peas. So any additional things like that, and I can't even think of what that would be. And then just continued interesting things like the wasabi arugula, things that you don't see in the grocery store, even at the farmer's market.
I agree with
anything
that.
Like that. Oh, like, I mean, I feel like not everyone, but most people know what a bok choy is. I've never heard of
what?
Tatsoy.
Right. I still don't know what to do with it. I have a huge tatsoy right now.
Cook, I say, and I only say this because it's, I have this like feeling that the darker green, the more nutritious. So I think of it as like the bok choy's like more nutritious cousin. So anyway, you would cook a bok choy, I would say.
Okay.
So things like that, things that you're not familiar with, I would love to see stuff like that. And I don't know if for you guys, if that's not profitable, do you think things sell the more recognizable they are? Or do you think people are looking for
definitely
difference?
But it honestly, it's, you know, I'm not as focused on the profit side right now. It's more on the, you know, experience. And but yeah, we do. It's more like if people aren't having success with a plant, or they're hard to germinate, or they don't, you know, travel as well, or things like that, then we'll cut things. But you know, I'd like to broaden it out. There were some things we experimented with, which I'd love to launch. I don't know if you guys have heard of ground cherries, but it's in the tomatillo. It's in the tomatillo family.
Okay, almost like a gooseberry type of thing.
It's like a big bush, yeah. And then
they
hang, and you can just shake. It looks like a little tree. You just shake, and then they fall to the ground, and they've got like a little outer skin,
like a husk.
Husk that you squeeze them. They come out, and they're so good. We were growing that for a while, then.
Wow.
And I told the team to look at let's see if we can bring that out, and then. There's some other Asian greens, like one's called ang choy. And I forget what there's another name for it, but it's almost like a hollow stem kind of spinach. And
it's
so good. It's so good, but not a lot of people know about it. So,
I feel like there's so many things out there that have been basically cultivated out of our food system because we go for like the easy, right? Not that I don't, I always have romaine on my stand, but the easy, the romaines and the things that are neutral tasting. And I would love to see more, you know, more of those wasabi arugulas.
You know, it's interesting. I actually don't grow romaine anymore. And I think it's because I'm growing other things, and typically romaine would be like a standard in my house, and I haven't really been using it because I'm enjoying all the other stuff. And one of the most surprising things that I've grown is the calendula. Shocked by it. I didn't know you could eat the leaves, but they're so big, and I Googled it. And so I'm still alive. I think it's okay. I Googled it, but the leaves are a really good, they're a bitter green, and they're a really good addition to a salad.
I love
They're so yummy. So my calendula is, you know, my mom was an herbalist. So like I grew up on arnica and calendula and herbs and all of that, but like to actually see the plant growing in my stand, I sent a picture to my family and I put my hand next to the leaves and the leaves are like up here, you know. They were just shocked by it, but it's growing so beautifully, so big and so yummy, and I haven't gotten a single flower yet, but I don't care. I'm just eating the greens off of it. So I love that one.
I like all the unique stuff. I will probably forever grow romaine because I have a husband and a teenage son that aren't as interested in all of the interesting things. And I personally love a crunchy lettuce.
I do too.
Yeah.
I just like the mouthfeel of a crunchy lettuce. I'm not a big butter lettuce fan. I do love the taste of the butter lettuce that you grow on the stand, which I never loved butter lettuce before because I just never felt it had like a great taste. And to me, it's soft.
It's soft.
So you don't get that crunchiness, but I did grow it on the stand last summer and I did really like the taste, but I
have butter lettuce all the time.
Crunchier. So
I love mixing butter lettuce, but I love also looking at, you know, there's certain things, I don't know if it's the varietal, like the variety of plant that you guys cultivate for the stand specifically, but you know, you're used to seeing a butter lettuce head and like a cabbage head and everything grown in a ball. But like, what happens when you see the natural shape of something that's growing and you see all the leaves that aren't a part of the tight knit ball? All of that is waste too, right? They're cutting that down to make it aesthetically what you expect it to be. And I see people going, my butter lettuce looks wilty or droopy or whatever, because it's not growing in a perfect little teeny tiny head or that.
Is there something wrong with my cabbage because it's not in a ball? The ball will come, but you can eat all of this that we normally don't see at the grocery store.
You can eat it. It's even when things start to bolt or you start to get flowers, you're not going to see that in the grocery store. But
totally.
You can cut those flowers. It's just a different taste profile. It's a little bit more bitter.
Yeah.
You can eat the seedlings right when you get them out of the box. If you really wanted, you know.
Yeah, I love microgreens.
You could just do microgreens. So they've got sweeter flavor, but stages, and you can eat all the parts of the plant, you know, like the broccoli leaves and the cauliflower leaves and things like
that. I really did like my broccoli leaves before those stupid worms ate my broccoli. that's actually a question I didn't have written down, but it is something that we've talked about just in recent episodes that maybe you could answer for us, the state of the seedlings right now. And I don't know if it's because we both started a little past right now last year, and maybe this is what the beginning of the big growing season looks like. Or are you guys doing something different? Because it seems like the seedlings that we're getting right now are so much more mature. They're bigger. They're definitely healthier than, I mean, they've always been healthy, but they just are seen. They came and you're like, wow, I could almost eat this romaine.
Yes.
But is that just like, because we're starting at the season and now you have to pay catch up as you go?
It's probably a combination of things. And and you're in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
So, well, in LA, we started local delivery. Seedlings. So we don't have that in San Diego yet.
But I just got really excited.
Yeah.
Where do you guys deliver to?
Did you say Topanga? I think you're local delivery.
That in constantly. Yeah. She already gets her seedlings days before I do if we order the same day.
I know, I get them in like 2 days. I love it. Yeah. That's amazing.
Well, day you order, but yeah, we try to, you know, we ship on certain days, and when they're also FedEx, we want to make sure they don't, you know, we try to find the ideal days to send so they don't get stuck somewhere for a day.
Yeah.
But local delivery, they're packed in the morning and you get them, you know, a couple hours later. And so we've got that coming in the LA area. We're about to launch that in Austin in about a week or so.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
We'll do that in New York, and then we'll start.
San Diego will be last because everyone forgets that San Diego is a major city, and we always get everything last.
You need to help us get more growers in San Diego, and then we
have. I'm working on it. Unfortunately, all the people that I've talked, actually, I do have two local people that I know personally that I did get to buy, but all the other people I've gotten to buy live elsewhere, so I'm not helping my cause here, but I'll soon stand outside the farmer's market with a sandwich board and say, you could be doing this at home.
I would totally do that. I think Calabasas is it's such a perfect place for doing that at our farmer's market. It's like a mile from my house, and it is such a fancy farmer's market, but I feel like you should come here, and I'll just do it myself. I'll be there on Saturday for the stand. And
Bassis, you just need to get, you need to send those Kardashians a stand.
Yeah.
get them posting started about it. And then everyone will buy one.
And the Smiths, Will Smith's family is there. And
that's right.
Now The Weeknd lives here, and like all these other people are moving in. But yeah, It's a
what's your, I mean, obviously you could have a pie in the sky, but what's your reasonable ultimate goal for Let Us Grow? Like, what would you like to see?
My reasonable,
I mean, obviously I can imagine your ultimate goal is everybody in America is growing produce from a farm stand.
That's exactly right. And I think that's reasonable too.
I agree with you.
I'm with you.
It makes more sense in the way it's happening now. So
yeah. The growth like continues like this, you're selling more and more stands all the time, I'm assuming. I mean, we've seen
the growth is great, you know, and the awareness is every day people had no idea there was something like this out there. And then they discover it, and word of mouth, you know, people like you telling their
starting podcasts.
Because we're
I knew we had a real product when your podcast came out. That's what I was
when you heard there was two dorky girls chatting for hours on end about
who can't stop. Like it's funny because I worked in the podcast industry, and I was talking to one of my partners one day, and he said, "Oh, you have one of those stands. My wife has one of those stands." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, my wife has one and my sister has one." And sure enough, his sister has like 300,000 followers or something. His wife and his sister both have two now. They're both totally obsessed with it. I no longer work with him anymore, but his wife and I still talk about it all the time. I'm like, you know, we've moved our relationship from business to just only farm stands and children. I mean, and that's it.
All of the content that we missed for the months before we started the podcast of us just chatting and Leslie about
I mean, that's where this came from. I was like, I can't work because of the pandemic, and I've got to be home with my kids all day. And Tara and I are having these lengthy conversations about our farm stand. We might as well do something productive with that and share it with the world. You know,
I'm so
anything
happy.
Else Thanks. About like your philanthropy? I know we did talk briefly with Robbie about that. And you mentioned, I didn't know the like 10 sold one to a school.
I didn't know that either. It's awesome, really cool.
Awesome number.
Yeah. Is there anything else
going on like that?
Well, we're ramping that up. This last year, you know, during COVID, we had a lot of sales and all the schools were shut down.
Right.
So we still haven't been able to get all the farm stands out that we went to. So we're looking, you know, but now that schools are coming online, it's going to relieve that. But we've also been looking at other community organizations and groups to support. So we're just, that program's just going to be, you know, continuously expanded.
How do people get their schools involved in that program? Because my kids are they're in LVUSD, which is the Las Virgenes School District. Mm-hmm. And my little guy came home yesterday and said, "Mommy, we're growing green beans." And he's eaten all the green beans off of our farm stand. So he knows how to grow them in the stand. And it's really cool to see, you know, even when we were touring schools and stuff, like who had a garden, because I thought that was just such an important thing for kids to learn and mm-hmm. or learn about. And now, you know, they're doing something. But if you want to get your school involved in the urban gardening scene or having a Let Us Grow with the school garden, how do they go about getting that?
Yeah. So I guess there's two ways. One, you could send us an email and you can nominate school at letusgive@letusgrow.com.
Okay.
We've also partnered with the Whole Kids Foundation. And so the schools apply with Whole Kids Foundation and talk about their, you know, their program and what they want to do. And then Whole Kids Foundation sort of like validates them and then asks them if they want a farm stand. You know, they could either get like a raised bed, or they could get a farm stand. And then if they want a farm stand, then they come to us.
Awesome.
That's amazing. So we're going to put that in our description if you missed it, and you'll be able to find that in the description of the show.
Yeah.
Cause that's great. I think more people need to know that for sure.
For sure. Yeah. So anything else that you want to get the word out, Jacob, or?
We're working. Yeah, we're also working on a new app.
Oh, cool.
That, things always take longer than expected, but I'm thinking maybe about 2 months that'll come out. And that's going to have a lot more functionality there. The idea is that it'll know what's growing on your farm stand at any time.
Great.
We'll give more harvesting recommendations. We'll be able to tie the different plants that you're growing together to recipes. And so it'll tie it through the harvest plans.
Love that.
Can I give you some wish list things?
Sure.
Go ahead.
If you look up the app Plantly, that's got really great plant recognition software, but it also tells you what's wrong with your plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that might be something interesting to look into. If you had a way to figure out like the weather and based on the weather needs, like sending reminders, like, okay, it's raining. Maybe you don't need to have your farm stand running as much as it normally does at this moment or whatever it is. You know, it's super hot.
It's 110. Make sure you should probably. Yeah.
And where we are, like the front of my house is constantly measuring like 130 degrees in the summer because we're just right in the afternoon sun direct path, you know, and we're in a hill. So we get like, it's squelching hot. Squelching, is that a word? Squelching?
Yeah.
Can I do this in every episode? Okay. but it's so hot. Scorching. So like, what are scorching?
Squelching.
Squelching.
Squelched.
There's squelched.
Squelched.
I have a college degree, I swear. but you know, like doing things like that where it ties in your actual location with what maybe it's like, did you plant this through like, are the things on my stand from Lettuce Grow seedlings or did somebody cultivate their own seedlings? Like if they do, are they going to be able to use the app too? I don't know.
I definitely love the idea of the plant recognition and diagnosis. Obviously that could be like bugs. Down the road, like bugs. Cause everyone that's like this, the group, right? Although you don't want to take too much away from the group because that is a huge incubator.
Oh, there. Incubator for sure. My kids still talk about the spider that somebody named Gaga from a year ago. They see a spider and they're like, it's a Gaga. It's like Gaga.
And so
somebody posted a really creepy spider.
I'm a big indoor plant grower. And I have you just like you said, Plantly, I have picture this and that's, you know, that's same thing. Recognizes the plant, diagnoses the plant. So that is a huge help. And I just realized that I could add, like I started a garden on mine. So, cause I have the best memory. So when I forget what something is or how often I should be watering it, I can go into my database of plants and look at, what that is.
This is so fake.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
This is how much of a black thumb I have. I can't even have
the first, our first podcast. I was like, that is such a, what is that? So beautiful. She's like, it's fake.
It's not real,
but yeah. So that's exciting to hear about and the added app. And I think that's something that's very unique to you in is that, I mean, I haven't explored a lot of the other things in the marketplace, but I think gardening has been so thought of as like this artisanal, you know, back to the earth thing. But I think pairing that with technology is really where you've hit your sweet spot. So the idea of a upgraded app sounds exciting.
And you guys are so good at listening to the people on the Facebook group, because remember when there was no backspace or back button in the app and you had to go back through the entire process of getting your seedlings like all over again every single time. And now there's just a back button.
What's interesting is I just thought that was like designed that way, like not purposely, but like just a bad design feature. And we had talked about it a couple of times, but never said. And then someone mentioned it on the group and you guys were like, oh, we had no idea. Let us fix that. And it was like fixed within days. And I was like, oh, we could just say the things that we need.
Yeah.
No, I think it's amazing. That has been a big investment for you guys. If I can say anything, give you any feedback on as far as your team, whoever it is.
Your customer service.
Pay that person. If you pay someone just full time to monitor what's going on in that group, it has been a good investment.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because not that everyone is so helpful, but when you see someone from Let Us Grow, whoever that is, jumping on to say, hey, this is some of our suggestions, or so-and-so is definitely right. Like, it really has, it really is. I think we all feel cared for, and
absolutely,
like, it's less scary. Makes things totally. Less scary.
Yeah. So you've nice. Made our lives less scary. That's Don't you fantastic. Feel good about that?
I'm not like a spider. We're not.
Yeah, exactly. Not like a spider. But sometimes you'll go to a company and like I go to their social media first because I hate calling on the phone, and I'll go to type some sort of like question or like feedback about something that's not working properly. And you'll see like just pages of the same thing with no response at all. And you think,
yep. Absolutely.
Why do you have a social media account? Like, you're making things worse. People are frustrated by that. You know, that's frustrating. I would rather you not have a Facebook page or an Instagram page if you're going to allow us to ask questions and then never address it. So,
and yours are answered that fast. They're so fast. Your team is wonderful.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We,
Thank
if you're feeling down in the dumps, just come hang out with us and we'll just be like,
give us a call. Love you. We'll pump you up. If you'd like us to motivate your staff by telling them how wonderful they are. They really are.
I'll hand deliver some seedlings for you in San Diego.
So. Yay.
That's so good.
So fun. Well, amazing. Jacob, we want to respect your time. And I know your kiddos are on their way. So we really, really appreciate you stopping by with us. And
is there anything else you want to add for today? Or are you just like, are we just so happy that you're here?
We're all happy. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. And thanks for putting together this podcast. And I think you've really brought a lot of people joy in listening to your stories about growing. So it's really.
And on everything else. We don't only just.
Everything about. Else. Yeah.
All our silliness. Well, if you don't.
The one thing I didn't mention is that we have a code for you, which I think you guys already know. The Letty and Lucy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Letty and Lucy. Absolutely. Yes. If anyone wants to use our code to purchase a farm stand, seedlings. Yes.
I think seedlings is free. Yeah. With the purchase. Yep.
We've had a few people use it, which is really fun, you know? Yeah. And
we are mostly talking to people that own a farm stand, but we're processing but we've done outside out of there. The podcast. Yeah.
We're my favorite
podcast. So.
Although we have like some listeners, right, from like Malaysia, like places I don't think you guys are.
We have. Let me, Jacob. We're an international success. Let me tell you. Watch this. No, 95% of our listeners are in the U.S., but Germany, Canada, India, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, Hong Kong, Oman, Indonesia, Cayman Islands, Ireland, Australia, Netherlands, Belgium, Puerto Rico, Italy, the Faroe Islands, Denmark, United Kingdom, Philippines, Greece, Singapore, and Iceland.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we either have some like vegetable fetishes out there or
if you're in a different country and you're listening to this, please tell us who you are. We love you. Yeah. Yes. It's crazy. Like every week there's like another country or two that adds a listener, you know, I don't know who they are, how they found us, but it's really fun. Oman. Come on. It's amazing. It's really. And it's no joke.
So thank you for building something that we can all get so excited for and spread the word. We appreciate you and everything you and your team are doing over there. So
we do.
Let us know if you want to get any new information out. We'd be happy to.
Oh yeah.
That's a great
new information. Idea. Testing products, testing. Yeah. You know, if you need like
the
normal
app,
folks
user testing users, the app,
we'll do whatever you want, and then we'll just talk about it forever.
Let's
our gig. So,
all right. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. We really appreciate you and everything you do.
Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. Okay, goodbye.